from mid-air births to mid-flight heartbreak. Joining me now in the studio is a woman whose life as a KLM air hostess in the swinging 60s reads like a movie script. She was the first South African woman to take to the skies with the Dutch Airlines KLM. She just happens to be Jewish, and today she brings us tales of glamour, chaos and charm, all at 11,000 meters high. And she just happens to be my mother. And I have to confess that, you know, if I get to choose who I want to interview here in studio, why not interview my mom? So I hope you don't mind that. And this is an invitation for all of you to let me know if your moms have interesting stories. You can always WhatsApp me at 061-895-1019, and I'd love to interview all of them. Alicia Slier, I think I better address you like that and not as mom. Back in the 60s, how different were the planes?
Hi, Paula, and all the listeners. Sorry, I've just got something. It was very, very different. First of all, I flew when there were no jets, in the sense that they were all propeller aircraft. So, and the crews were much, much smaller. There was, I'm talking about KLM, there were 9 crew members, of which there were 7 men and 2 women. So we were very privileged. We had the best. We went everywhere, and it was just a dream.
Completely different to today.
Completely, Paula.
Can you take us back to that emotional flight to Vancouver? What happened with the woman who was too embarrassed to meet her son after 30 years?
Now, it was very, very sad. I tell you that after the war, the Dutch government was asked if they wanted to. There was a lot of unemployment in Holland. And the Dutch government was asked by the Canadian government excuse me, if they wanted any of the people to emigrate to come to Canada so that they would be able to find jobs there and, you know, what to make a living. So there were plenty of Hollanders that went. So we often had charter flights, particularly to Vancouver. And on one of the flights, there was an elderly Dutch lady. She hadn't seen her son for about 30 years. And she was sitting in the seat, and everybody left. And she didn't get up from the seat. And I went up to her and I said, "What is the matter? Why don't you want to leave?" And she was crying and crying and crying. And she said, "You know, I haven't left Holland for 30 years. I haven't seen my son for 30 years. And I have been so ill during the flight that I actually didn't stop bringing up. And as a result, I brought up my teeth, my dentures into one of those packets."
Oh, no.
"And it was thrown away. So I have no teeth in my mouth. And I really and really can't go down to meet my son."
Oh, shame, man.
So I said to her, "Look, please don't worry and just hold on a moment." Now, in those days, you could leave the aircraft. It was completely different. And you could go down the stairs. You know, we had stairs there. It was pulled by people that kind of, that was their job. And you could go actually to the tarmac and go up to the person. So I went up to the person and he said, "Where is my mother?" And I said, "Well, I'm terribly sorry. Your mother is really very, very upset. She's sitting in a chair crying. She's lost all her teeth and she doesn't want to come up the aircraft. She says, how can I go and see my son after 30 years and I don't have any teeth in my mouth?" So he said, "You go back to my mother and you tell her to please come with or without teeth. We love her very, very much."
What about that harrowing experience just before landing in Tokyo when a Dutch captain had a heart attack at the controls?
That was terribly sad. In those days, the first class, it was only 2 classes, first class and economy class. And it was separated by a curtain. We didn't have all these doors and you know how it is today with security. So I was sitting there looking, you know, forward. I was on a safety seat. And all of a sudden, I see one of the crew members from the cockpit go up and close the curtain. And I thought, that's weird. Anyway, I sat looking. And the next thing is, we just had a normal landing and nothing was wrong. What appeared was that the captain, when the co-pilot was, I don't know who was the captain because they switched places, was reading the checklist. The other pilot turned round and saw that he didn't respond. So, you know, which was normally you say check, 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 or yes, yes, yes. And he had a look, and this poor fella had slumped, had fallen over the controls. And he knew immediately that something was wrong. He was actually had a heart attack, and he had died. And so the next thing is they were changing places. Of course, we passengers never saw a thing. And the third pilot became the second, and the second became the captain, and the plane landed safely. But I must add, the night before, the whole crew, as I said, we were two girls and, what was it, seven men, and we were always together, 5 o'clock every afternoon, was drinks in the captain's room. It was completely different to what it is now. It was very small and cozy and lovely. We all had such fun. But the night before, we were all at the beach and in Bangkok, what was the last stop, and we were all running away from big, big crabs that they had on the beach. And it was just heartbreaking. I see it just in front of me, this captain, this young guy, and he was also evading these crabs and laughing and laughing. And the next day he had a heart attack and passed away. So it was very, very heart sore.
No, it is heart sore. And also, you don't know what's going to happen from one moment to the next. I know there's one more story that I want to ask you about. There was the baby that was born mid-air over the Atlantic. What was running through your mind when you heard the mother say, the baby's coming?
Yeah. All of a sudden, I was in first class, but as I said, you could see what was going on. And there was a commotion in economy, so I quickly rushed down. And the next thing is I saw a baby, a man was holding the baby, sitting next to this woman. And it appeared that she got on board, nobody knew she was pregnant. And the next thing, she turned around and she said, the baby kommt. And before he could say anything, the baby slipped out. So the crew all got blankets, etc., etc. And when she left the plane, she said, danke well, as if she was in a shop and she bought something. But I must tell you that I can't recall if she was from Paramaribo, which is in Suriname, or she was from Curaçao. But in those days, they were all belonged to Holland. They were colonies of the Dutch Empire, so to say. And this lady spoke Dutch. That was the mother tongue. It was actually called Papiamento. So it was very, very similar to Dutch. So, I mean, when she said, the baby komt, we, you know, the baby's coming. And then when she left, she said, danke wel, tot ziens allemaal, and she was gone.
As if it's the most normal thing in the world
to have a baby on board.
Last story I want to ask you about is, in those days, as you were saying, you would stand and wave goodbye to the passengers. Do you have any funny stories?
Oh, yes, this is hilarious. So there were I worked at the ground hostess, and then I also worked at the airport. There was only two flights a week on KLM, and we used to actually get onto the tarmac and wave to the passengers. It was crazy, hey? We'd see them looking through the windows, and we'd wave to them. And then the plane would taxi, go up, you know, take off, and then all five of us would run upstairs and I would sit with the telexes and blah, 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 you know. And the next thing, there was a message that came through and said, no, the plane's coming back. So we all were quite shocked and who knows, we got a fright and we all went back and we're standing in the line all straight waiting for what's happening, and there the stairs are getting pulled. The guy runs up from KLM with papers. We thought maybe there was some change or something. And the next thing is the door opens, and what do you think? Who is standing there? African guy with a broom and a big smile on his face. Apparently, he was in the toilet when the plane, cleaning the toilet when the plane was ready for takeoff. I mean, that wouldn't happen today.
I mean, we hope it wouldn't happen
you
today.
You hope so, right.
There's a message coming in for you from Gary Goldberg saying, please tell this lovely young lady I say, how's it? Much love, Gary. Alicia, from lost teeth to found babies, your stories remind us how magical and deeply human those flying years were. Thank you for sharing them with me. And I know you have a host of a whole lot of other stories, so I'm just going to have to invite you in again. Thanks for popping in.
Thank you, Paula. Thank you.